Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
On earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Lord, we honor and reverence your presence, sir. Your goodness consumes us. Your goodness sets us free. We worship you. We adore you. We've laid our lives before you. We continue to lay our lives before you. It's no longer I, but Christ who lives in me, the hope of glory. I'm releasing these seeds, and they're going in. Some are opening, some are expanding, and some are just in for deposit at this moment. And they will mature and come forth in his due time, his season. His love continues to wave through in this room. It's like rushing water of his liquid love, gently consuming us until we're all in and all his. Some of you are feeling for the very first time his love, his presence, the goodness of God. And he's continuing to woo and bring us in like his flock. He's feeding and nurturing, and you're eating on words from heaven. And they're sweet, satisfying. Some are a little crunchy for others, but you're learning to chew, learning how to live on earth as it is in heaven. You're expanding your spiritual frame and learning to walk and develop just like a baby does. And so for some, this may seem a little different, but you know it's God and you're all in. Everyone in here is all in. And when everyone's all in, it's easy to go deeper in his presence and deeper in his spirit and deeper in truth. And it's easier for him to have his way and take us wherever he wants to. There's been a trust established in here. And he's really pleased. And as we worshiped in this last set of worship, you could feel the building of his presence. You can feel the deeper steeping of his glory that we're being steeped into. And that's where effortless change comes from. And when you leave this place, maybe tomorrow, the next day, a week from now, 2 weeks from now, a month from now, you're going to notice, hey, I'm no longer the way I used to be. When did that thing leave? It doesn't matter when it left. Trust me, you'll just be glad that it's gone. As we continue on, we're going to go deeper and deeper. And God's so gentle, he won't just dunk you in like a bully and here, drink some of his water. He's not like that. He's so gentle and kind. Have you noticed the wooing and the pursuing on his part towards you? Who else is like him? No one. Remember the difference. God loves and woos. The enemy condemns and entraps and takes you into bondage. Can you tell the difference in here now? Can you tell the difference in your soul? Does it happen all at once? Sometimes. Sometimes not. The great thing about God and his kingdom is it doesn't matter. If you're all in, you're totally his, it'll all work out. It already has. We're just walking it out. When things happen, maybe you side to the right a little or step to the left or forget something. Here I am again, Lord. Where was I before all this happened? It's so easy to be recalibrated in the Spirit. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is our GPS. He leads and guides us in all truth all the time. All the time. And he'll give you a check. You can feel. If you're about to do something that you know you shouldn't do, there's the Holy Spirit inside of us who leads and guides us in all truth, and he'll just give you a gentle nudge. I love that about him. Because sometimes I'm stupid or dull, and I'll just, oh, yep, you're right, thank you, and I'll back up. That's even when you give a word. Sometimes when you're given a word, you'll hear it, but wait, hold it. It's not for now. See, we need to learn to discipline our flesh and let our spirit man rule and reign, because that's where victory is. The suits we're wearing are just suits. They're going to fade away one day. But the spirit building, the man, the building that you have housed in the glory of God, that's what crosses over. And that's what you continue in when you cross over to the other side. And so maybe you don't get a stronghold worked out just yet. Keep pressing in to seek his face. Keep pressing in and drinking fresh wine, fresh water from heaven. Fill your jugs with oil. See, we all come and we're like, oh, can I borrow some oil? Oh, I don't know how to do this. But there comes a day when we stand in him, all of us, nobody special, all of us, and we know who we are in him. And then we know it's all about him. And so for some of us, we're working that out. And that's, we all work it out. So I'm going to tell you something that I feel like is coming. And I want to give you an opportunity to jump in. You know, as we move on tonight and listening to what the Lord wants to do, Holly's going to get on the keyboard, and I think he's going to get on. Are you getting on the keyboard tonight?
Well, I was going to do it tomorrow.
Oh, you know what? I feel like you're supposed to get on it tonight, because I feel like we're going to yield a little bit and turn, because it must be from the worship set is what I'm thinking why we're doing this. Maybe we went a little too far ahead of ourselves, but really it was him all along. You know what I mean? If we put a parameter on it, it's not good. And so I really feel like I have to release this, and then we're going to take a break, and then I'm going to ask Holly to go on the keyboard, just, you know, and just be led. But this is what I'm sensing. I don't know. You guys, half of you know me, and half of you don't. My lifestyle before I got saved, I ran with a hard crowd. And in today's day, it would be an easy crowd, by the way, because things have progressed so fast. But think of today's crowd, you know, 35 years ago, and that would have been me, okay? And, you know, I was addicted to drugs and alcohol, and I lived in the dark realm. I know I know the devil's territory because he held me in bondage. You know, we're all created to know him, and we all seek him and search for him because God put that in us. And sometimes we get tricked into deception, and so then we get taken captive, whether it be through alcohol, drugs, you know, sex, whatever avenue where you ended up in the dead end before you found him, okay? But when I tasted him and saw how good he was, and that night when I told you, when I met Jesus face to face, I knew everything else was counterfeit. I was clearly aware that everything else was counterfeit. And I had joined the programs to manage the symptoms, but I got set free without any, you know, withdrawal, without any of that, none of that. It was, I got set free. See, when the sun sets you free, you're free indeed. That's true, okay? And so what I'm saying is, I'm very sensitive. I've been born, I'm a seer, and I've always been a seer, and I didn't know other people didn't see. And what I'm saying is, there's a couple things we need to understand about the realm of God and the realm of the enemy. Every one of us has the ability to perceive goodness and evil. We have that. Actually, the scripture calls it discerning of spirits. We all have the ability to discern spirits. And how does it happen? By exercise. And so some people just don't exercise that spiritual muscle. And then they're like, I want to have that. Well, exercise a spiritual muscle. And I'll help you, you know, bounce some stuff off me, but that's completely different, and that's not where we're going. But I want to tell you something. There are doorways, gateways in the supernatural realm, and you can go through either doorway. Now, the enemy's doorway is very wide, and very accessible. And God's doorway is narrow, and it's narrow for a purpose, because not just everybody can run in. There has to be a desire to seek him. And so in the spirit realm, how it looks is there's like actual doorway structures. And you're like, how does that work? Don't analyze it, just listen and take this by the Spirit. And then ask the Holy Spirit these questions, and he will lead you and guide you into all truth. And so when I was young, I knew the doorways of the demonic realm. And one of the ways that I used to travel, and I didn't know that I was doing this until I met Jesus. I didn't know there was another doorway. But this is what happened. I this came up a few months ago when I was in a restaurant, and I was, and I thought everybody knew this. So I'm teaching this because not everybody knows this, and this is an important key. When I was in a restaurant, it was kind of like one of those pubs, you know, where there's, it was actually like a, you know, like a, I don't know what they're called, like a local thing where it's separated from like a bar over here, and then there's an eating area over here, and then there's a bowling alley on the other end, you know. So, and I'm in this place, and we sat at a table, and it wasn't like the bar part, it was a restaurant part, and they had some music playing. And whether you know it or not, you have the ability to be swayed by what you listen to. And, you know, life and death is in the power of the tongue. So it's not that you're singing along, but although many of us had. The thing is I remember sitting at that song, at that table eating, and I could hear these songs that used to be familiar, but they were so distant, I couldn't even remember the words to them, you know. But what I remembered, what started to happen is I could feel like the enemy trying to open up this doorway to let me travel back in to that old path that used to be comfortable and feel comfortable, but it leads to bondage. Think about it. Doesn't it always look pretty before you take the bite? Mm-hmm. Doesn't he have the ability to deceive and decorate, sin or bondage? And if he presented it as it really is, which is disgusting and gross and stinky, nobody would take that. We'd be like, no, thank you. But because it appeals to our carnal senses and it stimulates an emotional response, it's designed by the enemy to lure us to travel that pathway down that old ancient path. And So what happened was, because I traveled, you know, I can remember sitting in my car singing some of these songs and just, you know, going with them. And some of you are like, I don't know what you're talking about, but the ones that need to hear this are hearing this. And so you're nodding your heads like, yes, yes, yes. So what happened is, as I consecrated my life to Jesus, those doors closed. I stopped going to those places. I stopped listening to that stuff, and those doorways closed. Now, is all music demonic? No. We heard great music in here today. That's not demonic. And am I saying only listen to Christian music? No, I'm not. But I'm saying be careful, because deception always looks beautiful until you're behind the curtain, trapped. And so what this thing, it was like I could feel these doorways like trying to puncture. It was like the enemy trying to get me. And I remember thinking, what the heck? You know, the blood of Jesus the first couple times, because I wasn't really tuned in. I was eating. And I'm like, what? That is the weirdest thing. I'm like, I feel this thing trying to lure me. And what I could feel was the enemy was trying to do this, try to find the doorway for me. And I'm like, that thing is gone. That thing's, there's not even a structure there anymore. And I could feel him frustrated because he lost his assignment. And I remember thinking, that's kind of weird, you know, but I knew it was true. And so fast forward, I was thinking about it, because whenever something happens, I always say, Holy Spirit, what's really going on here? Because if I try to figure it out in my natural mind, I will never get it. I know that. I don't have the capability in my natural mind to figure out a supernatural situation. And that's where a lot of people get tripped up. And that's where a lot of people get trapped again, because they analyze it instead of, Holy Spirit, what is this? Why is, what was that about? Is that even real? And the Lord showed me. Later on, he showed me, he reminded me of a couple things. He reminded me of my old life. He flashed it. And I'm like, oh, I forgot all about that, because it was so closed. And in the sea of forgetfulness, you don't remember that stuff. And so I was like, okay. And so that's the counterfeit end. And you can ride that counterfeit song into the demonic realm of bondage. And, you know, and it doesn't have to be like heavy metal. Think of that song that I said earlier, Hello Darkness, My Old Friend. That's not heavy metal, but that's a very dark song. Very dark. And I know I sang that song when I was young, and oh, my heart was broke and life was so woe, you know, but that is agreement with the enemy. And so what I'm doing is we're primed. There's like a priming in here right now. And I want to share a couple strategic tips to help us continue to flow in the supernatural in God's kingdom. And so I used an example of the counterfeit and how that affected me and how I used that. You know, and also when you're doing drugs, you know, that also increases the ride out, so to speak. So you add music, the ride out, and atmosphere, and you've got a terrible experience. You're hooked. And you know, only for the grace of God, he came to set us free from that lifestyle. Otherwise, we wouldn't get free. And so I'm challenging a couple of you in here who insist that it's okay to have one foot in and one foot out. I've always done it this way. This is what I've listened to all my life. You can continue to listen to it, but I'm going to tell you, there's a better way and a faster way. You know, there are counterfeits. And what that is the counterfeit. That is the counterfeit of what God created music for. He created us to worship. We are worship. We are the voice that he loves to listen to. And so I'm going to transition just a little, because I don't want to waste a lot of time on this, although this is important. So when I started going to Holly and Edgar's meetings, you know, I felt the presence. I mean, hello, if you sit with the Lord, you're going to carry his presence. And you all know when you've been around somebody who houses the glory of God. I mean, and it's not to like, I'm so great or not. It's not about that. It's always about him. And so what I'm saying is I was broken and desperate and a mess. Even after I found him and even after I got spirit-filled, I had to walk out all the open doors that I had in my life and all the bad decisions that I made. But I didn't walk them out by myself. I was led by the Holy Spirit. I learned to listen so close to him, and he became my best friend out of desperation and then out of adoration and love because, oh, my Lord, thank you for Holy Spirit. And so I'd go into these services, and back in those days, you know, Holly would be on the keyboard, and then Edgar would get up and minister. And for those of you who know Edgar, and for those of you that don't, you'll see him, and you'll go, that's the man they talked about. That man was a powerhouse and is a powerhouse, a man of faith, apostle of love. And so I'd go into the services, remember, still shy, still a mess, and I would lay down. And when Holly would get on that keyboard and start to, see, she's not here. Remember, she's seated in heavenly places, okay? There's a difference. You can tell when somebody's worshiping out of their soul, which is fine, but you can tell when they're in heaven and they're releasing heaven into the earth. And so because I'm a seer, I was seeing that. And so I would go to the services, and I would just lay down, and I'd get as close as I could to the foot of the keyboard, you know, because I like being close to the presence, okay? And I'm kind of like a glory hog in a good way, you know. I won't knock you down, but I might edge you up a little to let me in too. And so, you know, I never could understand when we would be in worship and people would be like on their phones or looking around. And I'm not condemning. I was like that before I met him, okay? But when his presence is here, I give him my full attention most of the time. Sometimes I slip up. But I used to come in and I'd lay down and she'd get on that keyboard. And I don't even know if she opened her mouth, to be honest with you. I'm not quite sure. But I would take a note and I would go out on the note. I would write a note right into heaven. And I would have the most wonderful experiences in God, in heaven. And then slowly she'd stop playing. And it would transition to Edgar, which was a completely different vein. It's kind of like whiplash at that point. But I learned to just stay in. Because it's a different vein, I stayed in that place of the flow of his glory, and then I would hear what was being released by the power of the apostle, and my life changed on the floor, effortlessly. Did I have to show up? Yeah, that's where the effort was. Was my heart right all the time? No, but it became purer and purer and purer because I kept coming and coming and coming. And so one of the things that I'm concerned about with the body of Christ is we've become complacent. Because we've tasted and we've seen, and oh, it's good. I remember when Holly released a word, it feels like 100 years ago, because I just don't keep track of time. And she shared a vision she had. She was bored at this creation conference that she went to, and she's like, Lord, teach me something. And so he taught her while this other guy was blabbering, and it was all good stuff I heard, but please don't tell me it, because I don't want to know it, but what she said was God took her into a vision and showed her this pastor. Now, she's probably going to tell it a little different if she ever shares it. But see, when you are in the Spirit, you hear what you need to hear. That's what I love about, if you heard this story yesterday, if you're fresh and you're pressing in, you'll hear what you need today out of that story. Yeah. It's like a piece of meat, a piece of the vegetable, a piece of whatever. It's always alive. And so With complacency, one of the things that it was like ding, 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 and the bottom line was, I'll just give you the quick version. The pastor looked good, nice suit on, and he was at a level, wingtip shoes, laying on his back, enjoying where he was at. And I remember saying, Lord, I don't ever want to settle. Don't ever let me have a settling spirit. I don't ever want to settle. Lord, you got to make sure that I get this because I don't want. And I knew he was saying, don't settle, don't settle. You have a tendency to settle where you're at, blah, blah, blah. You know, and so I did this inner vow with him, a good inner vow. And it has caused me to continue on, not because I'm great, but because he showed me that. And so the thing about complacency is I see it rampant in the body of Christ right now. I see people joining their little clicky, you know, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but this is like a, is this for you? Take it. If not, leave it alone. I see people joining these little cliques, and they call them like Bible studies, but they don't even study the Bible. They're talking fish trips and, you know, cooking recipes, and that's called fellowship. There's a difference. And I'm not going to go down here too much because I really want us to go tonight. And I'm not against Bible studies. I love them. Okay? I love a good Bible study. But I'm telling you, the spirit of complacency is trying to infiltrate the body of Christ. And you have to have a sharp edge in the spirit. And one of the ways to do that is to discipline your flesh. And how do you do that? Fasting. And that could be different things, different ways for different people. But I'm telling you, there's nothing that gets you sharper than denying your little fat belly a bowl of spaghetti or something. You know what I'm saying? Because it causes you to choose. Which God are you going to serve? Flesh, spirit, which kingdom, you know? And so I'm saying that because I'm concerned. I'm actually worried for the body of Christ. And so what I'm saying is now with all the crazy stuff that they are trying to do, don't fall into, well, I'll just watch online. Because what happens, I'm seeing, is people watch, but they're not watching. They're on their phones because no one's watching them. And they're half in and half out. We got to be all in. We're in a day where we have to be all in. And so I'm just going to encourage you to battle your flesh and subdue your flesh and get a hold of that spirit of complacency and wrestle it to the ground until you win. And so with that, I want to tell you something else. We're going tonight, and I feel like Holly's supposed to get on the keyboard, and some of you will never have ever done this because you didn't know. How many things have you learned about the spirit realm that you never knew, and then you hear and you're like, done, easy, in? That's what I love. It's not complicated. Nothing is complicated in God. If it's complicated, it's not God. It's your flesh. So I would go to those services and I would ride the note into heaven. And I wouldn't care what was going on. And the best way for me to do that, I couldn't do it sitting in a chair. In those days, I can now, but I couldn't do it in the chair because I'd be like, is somebody watching me? Is what's that person in front of me doing? You know, I'm like a little kid, you know, or a little puppy that I'll go run after a ball if it's in front of me. I have to really discipline my flesh to be, you know, like-minded with God. And so, but as you discipline it, it becomes first nature. And so that's what I'm encouraging you today, tonight, to allow yourself. And some of you are like, you know what? I've worshipped. I can't we just do something else? No, this is where the Holy Ghost has taken us. So, you know, the bus just took a sharp left. And, you know, I'm not driving.
Come on.
So you're like, I don't want to get on the floor. I don't want to. Listen, this is not, you're not going to the dentist. I can feel the resistance in here. I see him doing some stuff. I see him moving and pulling some stuff off because he's trying to prepare you, to help you for such a time as this. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to look back on this day and go, I remember when. That was the very first time I entered his realm of glory. Now we all have free access through Jesus Christ. He tore the veil, so we don't have to wait. We can go boldly in.
Hallelujah. Thanks, Lori.
Thank you.
So I didn't know I was going to soak you tonight. Hallelujah. But the Lord told me to do a little bit of it standing up.
I'm releasing you into my glory. I'm releasing you into my house. I will teach you now the ways of God. I'm bringing you into my house. I'm releasing you into glory. I'm releasing you into presence. Don't you know I've called you unto myself, for you are mine. You are mine. You are mine.
And so before I sit down, I need to share two things. One is a word for you, Kim. After I prayed for you, I went and sat down, and I saw a picture of you being taken very far up into the presence of the King for the first time. And I think this may be tonight, so I want to encourage you not to get too involved with other people tonight if you can find like a little hideaway. I feel like the Lord wants to really minister to you. And I saw, when I was praying for you, I saw the fire of God, and it was just burning through some things that were done in the past in your life that were from the enemy, things the enemy tried to do. And I saw that fire just burning those up, just burning them up and releasing you to move forward and step into the next thing that God has for you. The other word I feel like I need to release is more something I saw during the worship. I saw Jesus came and he had a small metal box. I want to call it a strong box. And I felt like it's something he is releasing tonight as we just allow him. You know, some people know how to give out, but they don't know how to receive. So I just want to share for a quick second how to do that, because if you know how to do that, you can do it anywhere. And when you're in the presence, or when you're with any ministry that you know, follows the Holy Spirit or loves the presence, first of all, check in to make sure everything's holy, right? Because some things are a mixed bag. I'm just going to be brutally honest. But if you feel like it's a safe place and that they really love the Word of God and that God is truly first, their kingdom first, you can actually pull in the Spirit to receive the anointings because they're free. And so what took that person 20, 30 years to get, sometimes you can receive much, much faster because they're bringing it, you know? They're bringing it. And so what some people do when they go to the altar, for example, or they're sitting in their chair, and I used to do this too, is they're like this, and they're striving, right? And they're all tense and they're trying to get something to happen in there, but they're so busy pushing out that you can't get something to go in them, you know? And you almost need to tell them now, it sounds strange. And I remember the first time someone told me this, stop praying. I'm like, what do you mean stop praying? I want it so bad. But I couldn't receive because I was giving out. And they were trying to push something in, but they couldn't get it. You know, it was like button heads, you know? And so there's a way to rest in God and receive what he's releasing tonight. And I don't know yet what's in that strong box, but I believe that Jesus is giving us something that is a key, something that is holy. Some of you have been crying out for more. There's people in here, you've said, I don't even know what it is, but if I don't get something more, Lord, there's something more, I don't even have a name for it, but I've got to have it, Lord. I know there's more for me. And that's called the heart cry. You know, because we don't even get what it is, because there's no, you know why? There's no words in earthly language. There's no human words. Some things that are in heaven have no human words. There is no words. And some things that are in heaven can't be comprehended in an earthly or carnal mind, right? We can only grasp it by the mind of Christ, which is in our born-again spirit. And so these may be strange sayings to you, but as God releases whatever this is that's in the strong box, I didn't know I was going to be soaking tonight, but we're just going to, hallelujah, try to flow with the Holy Spirit and let him, you know, let him direct every note. We're going to try to let him direct. But as we do, I'm going to ask you to try to learn how to receive. Ask him to teach you how to pull and how to receive, because what he gives, it's free. It's free. And he'd like you to receive in one night what took us 30, 40 years to get, you know? And he'd like to teach you the answers to those questions. Save you a lot of time. Hallelujah. Holy.
Thank you.
Says, I am redeeming your life. I've already redeemed you, but I'm redeeming your life, meaning I'm taking some of those things that happened and I'm going to redeem them. I am releasing to you. Everybody hear me okay? I feel like he's saying tonight, I'm redeeming your identity and I'm going to show you the truth. About who you are. Self-hatred or, you know, self-abuse. The Lord says, you're not who you think you are. I have an identity for you. Fresh out of heaven, it's your real and true identity. And I saw him putting this beautiful seal on your soul. It was just beautiful, so lovely. Said for the first time in your life, some of you are going to know exactly who you are, and you'll love it. You're going to love the new you. Some of you are going to receive your new identity and say, this is what I always wanted. I never dared dream that this could really be my identity. And some of you, when you get your true identity, I saw you take something that you do regularly. It's not sin, just something that you do. And you took it and you just said, I don't need to do this anymore. It wasn't anything bad. It was just something you do. And you were like, I don't need this anymore. And you just put it down. It's like, I'm going with God. I'm going to start exploring my new identity, my new life. New life, that's the word I'm hearing. New life. Thank you. someone in here, Satan has tried to cause you to say the actual words, "I hate myself." But no more will you say that after tonight. In fact, what you're going to say is, "I just love who God made me to be. I love the identity He's given me. And I actually like myself." Someone's past, and it's like it's sailing away. It's like you're letting go of your past. I see it just sailing away into the far past distance where it can be remembered no more. No more. Listen, some of you lost hopes and dreams were dashed like but I see God restoring and building and releasing. And there's going to be things you never dreamed would be able to happen for you. And you say, even in this day, oh yeah, especially in this day. Because you know what? God is going to show Himself off. And He's going to show Himself off in your life. And people will say, "Is that the guy? Is that the same guy? Is that the same woman? Aren't they the one that used to have all those problems? What happened?" There'll be some people that'll say, "Man, I want what that guy's got. What is that that person has? I want that." Somebody will say, "Well, that's called the presence." You are going to go on to become experts in the presence. Some of you having times in the heavenlies. And I see this beautiful lake of ice. It's heavenly. And I see you out there with Jesus. just soaring around on the ice, just soaring with Jesus. Some of you are going to learn to fly with him. There's some of you that will become the confidant of the Lord. See, after the Lord tests us for a while and sees what we're made of. He watches to see if we'll keep a confidence. And if we'll care for his people, and even when we don't feel like it. And he watches for a while, and then he says, you know, I think I can trust this one with more. And he begins to tell you the secrets of God. Some of you will enter secret callings with the Lord, unknown, unseen by man. People at church won't even really understand who you are or what you do. That's okay. It doesn't matter when you're close to him. Says, you are mine. Don't you know that I've prepared you even all your life for this? Can you feel your connection to my heart? He says. But this is why you were born. It wasn't for all that other stuff. It wasn't to chase around, chasing the wind, to make money and all that stuff people chase. There's nothing wrong with that, but this is why you were born. This is why I brought you forth, and this is why I brought you here. That you might sit at my feet, he says, and learn from me. He says, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. I have so much I would give you, and it's all free. For I love you so, and I want you to become equipped. Some of you have worried about the future. You see the news, you see the things happening in the earth, and it worries you. And it upsets you, and I understand. Did I not say in the last times, perilous times would come, right? And you see it, but I want to assure you that when you live in this place with me, you're mine, and I will direct you every day. And I will position you to be in the right spot, and you'll have a sense, oh, don't go there today. Go to this other place today. I will lead you. I will guide you and I will protect you if you stay tight with me. Stay close to me. Walk close to my heart. Sit at my feet often. Oh, some of the ties. Some of you have so many ties to earthly things. Things you care about, and you're tied, soul tied. But I'm releasing you from those heart strings because I want you tied to me. I want your heart tied to mine. I'm jealous. I'm jealous when you run around with other gods. It makes me jealous when you run around with things that are not of me. And you tie yourself emotionally to all this stuff that's fruitless. I haven't changed all that much. I'm still a jealous God. I'm jealous for you, for your love. I want to be your one and only. Your one and only. And when you make me your one and only, you'll know what it is to walk in all of heaven, you see. All of heaven is for you. But if you only give me half of you, you can't possibly walk in all of heaven. It's not possible. Some of you have given me 3/4 of your life, 2/3 of your heart, 1/4 of your checkbook, and 1/2 of your house. Doesn't mean I love you less, but how can I give you all of heaven? Because as a man soweth, so will he reap. You want all of me? Give me all of you. You first. See, because I already did it. I already gave you all of me. I already gave it all. Died for you. Why do you hold back? Yes, I can be very jealous. I don't love you less. But as you sow, so will you also reap. And the measure you use, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your heart, your life, your activities, your time, your time, your time, your time. We say God is a priority, but how we know if he really is how do we spend our time? If we say he's our first priority, but he's the last thing we do 5 minutes before bed, he's not our priority, and we're lying to ourselves and to him. Nothing I would hold back from you. There's someone in here, and the Lord said that people called you a loser. The word loser was used on you. And he said, I'm stripping you of that label. It's not true. Never was. It never was true. It's not true. I have a name for you, my own. My own. You are my own. That's my name for you, my own. The temple of the king. preached, and he said, I was very, very young, late 20s, and he said, if you don't know your niche in the body of Christ, ask God and he'll show you. And I didn't know my niche, and I got in the car and said, Lord, who am I? What's my niche in the body of Christ? What position do I fill? And he said, you are a temple servant. I didn't even know what that was. But from that day to this, I have loved the temple with a passion. I have a passion for the temple of God. Anything about it, any teaching about the temple. Because the temple is where my king lives. And a temple servant was one of the lowest people there. They weren't a priest. They just served the priest. They brought the wood, you know, there had to be wood burned and burned and burned all the time. And the temple servant would serve the priest and bring the wood, you know, carry the water. But I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the temple than be anywhere else on earth. Releasing a vision to some of you. You're seeing a picture of your niche. Thank you. someone in here that's being promoted in the Spirit. The Lord says, no more will things be as once they were. For I'm calling you up higher. For your heart is pure. We give you all the glory and all the praise forever and ever. I feel like you've washed us, Lord, and you've cleansed us. You've washed away all the broken dreams and the lost hopes, and I feel like you've set before us a table in the presence of our enemies. You've set a feast before us. And you're saying, come and eat. Come and eat freely. And I hear him saying, it delights me when you come. It delights me when my children come to the table and freely dine on what I have provided. It's delightful to me. So don't ever feel like you shouldn't take more. Always take more. There's always more to be taken. And I've created it for you. I've created these things for you. Purchased them for you. You know, I created this planet for man. And when Adam sinned, the planet fell into the hands of the enemy. And instead of Adam being the prince of this world, the enemy became the prince of this world. That was never what I wanted. And so what could I do but come and take it back, as only I could do? What could I do but become a man as Adam was, but not make the mistake that he made? And with my blood, purchase back the earth, to give it to my children, lock, stock, and barrel. That was my will, to give you authority in the earth, to give you rulership, to give you wisdom and grace, but it could never be done without the leading of the Spirit. It can never be done by a man apart from me. And that was never the plan. The plan was that you and I together, you and me, you and me, you and I, you and I ruling and reigning, and me giving you ever greater, ever increasing rulership. As you grow in one thing, then you get promoted to the next. And as you learn to handle that, I'll promote you again. As you learn how to walk in
one level of glory, I'll promote you to the next one. You learn how to walk in that, I'll promote you to the next one. As you keep your heart right and stay with me, there's nothing you can't do. There's no limits that I've put on you. The limits come from your own thinking and from a trick of the enemy. But my desire was for my kids to rule and reign in the earth. That's my desire. I love you, he says. I love you more than you know, more than you've seen, and more than you can comprehend. But my desire is for you to comprehend it and bask in my love. Let my love, if you don't do anything else in the next 3 months, bask in my love. Just lay in the presence and let me love on you, because that love heals you. The love of God heals you. It will heal your soul. It will wash away all the memories. It will wash away any words that have been spoken that were not kind. It'll wash away all the sins, all the memories. Just bask in my love. Don't worry about doing stuff for me. I'll take care of that. We'll do that later. But how I would love to bring you to my place and just pour the love of God into you. Flood you with the love of God for hours and days and weeks until you really know the love of the Father. Until nothing really can separate you, because you so know it, that nothing can separate you from my love. No lie of the enemy can say you're not good enough. No lie would be able to persuade you that you're outside of me, or outside of my temple, or outside of my presence. And when you get that, when you really know that deep down as a revelation, when you know this, you can say this: my Father loves me. I'm not anybody, but he loves me. I need to be. When you can really say that and know it, then we'll start to work. Then we'll do some fun things together, and I'll begin to use you. But people have gotten the cart before the horse. They want to be used of God before they've understood the love and the presence and the nature of the Father. I'll allow you to do great and mighty things. Absolutely. That's my will too. But if you try to do it by faith alone without knowing the love of God, see, faith works by love. Faith for miracles works by love. By knowing, not with your head, but experientially knowing God's love and mercy and grace. Get to know me, he says. Get to know me. And as we get to know each other, I will take you on great exploits, and I'll allow you to do great and mighty things. I would love to. But right now, what I really want is for you to know me better. And so over these next few weeks and months, don't let the enemy steal you from me again. I know you have lives and jobs and stuff you need to do. I get that. But make a place for me in your day. Or in the middle of the night or early, whenever your time is, make a place for you and me, just you and me. And you may say, well, I don't know exactly what to do. Don't worry about that. Even if we just sit together, even if all we do is quietly sit, don't you know what a joy that is to me? Just to have you sit together with me. Because you know what you're saying when you do that? You're saying that I'm first in your life. There's nothing that I won't do for a kid who puts me first. There's nothing I wouldn't do for one of my kids that truly puts me first. You walk in all kinds of faith. You walk in all kinds of miracles and healing power. But first things first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.